And I want to take a thought tonight on the Word of God. The gospel of the two legs of the coming Lord. The gospel. Amen. There's one leg of the coming that took place in the early church. Amen. There was the gospel there. But then in this last day we got two legs, one foot on land, one on the sea, which takes it all over the globe. Amen. But I want to bring the gospel in tonight in a sense that I feel like might help us as over some things and on our journey. And bring in about the gospel not only being dispensational, but it's geographical. And I believe it will help us understand more our day, our time, and what God's doing for our day we're living in. I believe that there is a living gospel for our living people, say. And there has been a gospel, and each age had their portion of the gospel.
Right.
In certain geographical areas, it has been somewhat, it wouldn't fit our geographical area, some of the instruction of the early church, and some of the things like that. And it's not only geographical, but it's also dispensational. And this is the last age, the last dispensation. And when we read in Revelation chapter 10, it shows the finality of the fullness of the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. And it happened here in this last day as God sent a messenger to this age. And the seven angels came to him in the state of Arizona in 1963. And none of them speaking here, of course, just in case there might be somebody here that's not well acquainted with it. I'm speaking here of the prophet, Reverend William Branham, that came with a message and went around the world. And he had a gospel, and he preached a regular Pentecostal gospel to begin with the exception he had water baptism in Jesus' name. And he did preach quite a bit for the Assemblies of God and so on. But then as this dispensation began to change, he began to bring more into the water baptism, one God. And he preached serpent seed and preached that hell was not eternal and many things. Reaching back and bringing all the truths up and putting them in one message. Say. So there is a certain dispensation. God had seven messengers, and each messenger came to a certain country, certain geographical area, and they had the gospel for their time and their period. I was reading in the book on Martin Luther. He said there's nothing more relaxing than smoking a cigar and drinking warm beer. Well, that's so out of our dispensation that it wouldn't fit our time period in the place we're living in. Amen. First place, the cigar would probably, I mean, that would be a no-no. And warm beer, I don't know. I've never had very much experience with it, but I think that would be definitely a no-no too. Ministers differed in different age. Yeah, he was at this church age messenger. And the gospel there was not only dispensational, but it was geographical. We're going to look at here this end time God finally winds it up in the last days and gives us the gospel. And in 1963, seven angels came to the prophet William Brown here in this nation and cleared up all those things through the ages and why this was and why that was and why this was. Amen. And so in Revelation, John just reached back the first seven verses to give us a scope of what happened from Pentecost up until this last day, up until the seventh angel came to finish up the mystery of God and God took him home. And now it leaves us with a book that's open, which is is a living word for a living people. See? Amen. And right now, God has a gospel. It's a living word. It's not just something that's dispensational or geographical and all that, but it's something for us in our day, in our country, and whatever country in the world, because one foot on land, one on sea, it spreads it around the world.
That's right, yes.
Amen. But the preachers has to realize when they go to the geographical area, the people are going to act different, dress different, and some of them are going to wear a dress. Not really a dress, you know, but they wear the robes and stuff. There's a gospel for us today. It's a wonderful gospel. It's a lovely gospel. It's a gospel bringing our mind together, bringing our hearts together, bringing our souls together, making us one. Amen. That's the only way the church will go out here with one mind, one accord. And like in the book of Joshua there, it says there that we're going the way we've never been before. See? You're going the way you've never been before. And the Holy Ghost, He has taken care of all this. He's given us leadership. And there are some groups that don't need leadership, see? Amen. And specifically, the groups that don't need leadership, and working, you could probably think of about three groups right offhand. It's them that ain't going nowhere, just wandering around. And don't care which way to go. One group. Another group that's standing still don't need leadership. And another group, if you're going backwards, you don't need leadership. So it's only as we march forward. I remember when I came out of the hospital there, after having a massive heart attack, the first night I was home, I had a dream. I was going back, I was like in Alaska, that was a blizzard. And I'm telling you, there's a spiritual blizzard down there. That was giving me five suits, that tight clothing that would keep you warm in very severe weather, something like skis wear or something, and some food. And so I want you to push back to frontier. Take this and make way for those that are coming behind. And the one that was talking to me gave me these, and I started walking, and I walked in the dream about as far as here to the end of the church back here. And I woke up, it was just blizzard, but it seemed as though I knew where I was going, I wasn't worried about it. Amen. So God's moving in this day and in this hour. He's getting us ready to take us home.
Amen.
He's getting us ready to make us one and take us home. And let's watch how He does it. And He'll do it in such a way that we'll just have to stand back in amazement, my, look what God can do. Look what God is doing. Praise God. So let me read the scripture and then we'll... I'll get this out of the way here. I'm just going to read the first two or three years starting maybe. It says in Revelation 10:1, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. Now get that word, you might want on the line, that word come down, meaning he wasn't here in this form. Come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and that means takes Revelation to see who he is. You can see through the cloud a certain... They got these new headlights now. You can see through the clouds for them for a good fall. Alright, and it says here, and there was rainbow upon his head. That's the covenant angel, which is Christ. You'll find him sitting on the throne in Revelation chapter 4, rainbow about trumpet. And his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. And then said, and he had in his hand a little book open. That means all seals are taken off. And he set his right foot upon the earth, and his left foot, or his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth. Now let's get the fullness of him here. Amen. Now Christ is no longer, we don't any longer have a one-footed gospel. Or a one-footed Christ.
Yeah.
See, he's standing on both feet. Amen. Meaning the fullness of his power and all this year. And it's around the world. And it says, he cried with a loud voice to the lion roared when he had cried seven thunders uttered their voices. I was reading them all. And when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write. That was was in the days of John. John's about right, 96 A.D. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which thee sell. Others uttered, and write them not. That means it's not going to be available. They weren't even written at all. So that means God's going to have to send a man down that the word come to. Supernatural word came through that's not even written, see. And we've had that has taken place. And it says here, verse 5, and the angel which I saw stand on sea and upon the earth lifted hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, which is the eternal spirit. Christ swore to the eternal spirit to live forever and ever, who created the heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things which are therein, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no more, no longer. In other words, this time period is going to run out where these things, this time period where it was sealed up. And he said, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he began to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he has declared to his servants the prophets. And if I missed the word there, I'm going to read, bear with me on that, but I think I got most of it. Now that ends a certain time period. Amen. That's when the seals are all open, the thunder calls round. Amen. And Christ is here, stand on both feet. See, now in the early church, there, the first leg of his coming, there was a message. It was a very wonderful, powerful message. And there were apostles went forth ministering the word of God. And there was 12 apostles to Israel. And then there was the apostle Paul to the Gentiles. Amen. So that was the difference when he deals with Israel. He dealt with the 12. But when he sent the gospel to Israel, Paul said, I am the apostle to the Gentiles. The Lord has raised me up and he sent me, you know, in that way, sent me to the Gentiles. And the word says, 13th chapter of the book of Acts, you might know in reading the book of Acts, the first 12 chapter deals with Israel. Amen, basically. Well, in that 13th chapter, Paul began to preach, and he was preaching to the Jews, but they rejected it. And then he shook the dust off his feet and said, lo, I go to the Gentiles, for thus has the Lord commanded me, saying, thou art a light to the Gentiles. I'll make thee a light to the Gentiles, and to be for salvation to the end of the world. Then we're in a different category of it. Then here come a message for the Gentiles. See, that's going to be specifically for a Gentile people as God fades out the Jewish realm of it, as he got his number out to rule and reign with him in the millennium. Now the Jews, according to Matthew, to the 19th chapter there, they were to sit on 12, the 12 apostles sat on 12 tribes, 12 thrones rather, to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. So you get your 12s in there, Israel, you get your early part of the church, being the brethren, the Jews, they rule and reign in the Israeli realm. Amen. But then when it came to the Gentile, Paul went, God said, I'll send you far, depart from this place, Paul. I will send you far away to the Gentile. And then we got a whole new scope of the gospel. Amen. One foot on the sea, the Middle East. Now, that was a geographical area. And that was a time period. And there had to be a gospel coming there to fit that geographical area and this time period that Paul was to preach in. And it had to coincide and be with the custom of what the custom of the people was and all those things. It was geographical and dispensational. It was very dispensational. Now, if you look on the news today, we have see a lot on the Middle East, but you'll always see the Middle Eastern folks when they meet each other, they hug each other and kiss each other on each side of the neck. Each one, they get four kisses. This one kissed this one on each side, and then this one kissed this one on each side. And they lay it on pretty heavy sometimes. Well, Paul and that Paul working in that geographical area, his gospel coincided with conditions that existed then. Amen. And he said, greet the brethren with a holy kiss when you meet them. Well, you know, that was all right for his time period in that dispensation. And that was all right for that society, and they still do it. But spare me, please. Amen. You see, because that don't fit here much in this geographical area we're living in.
No.
That gospel just doesn't fit here with us. Amen. As you follow it out through history and time, you'll find all the different customs. And some of the older ministers, if they walk in here tonight, you would say we're being invaded with hippies. Because most of them had long hair. Well, the Jews, they still do a lot older now, have shoulder length hair and stuff. That's the way it was. Jesus was walking around there. So there was a gospel that fit that geographical area. Amen. And it was dispensational for that time. Mm-hmm. And our first president, George Washington, his hair is quite long. And some of the others even longer. But we've moved up. See, God is not a God that stays back here in the dark shadow. He's a God that's on the front line.
Amen.
How many know? He's spearheading the gospel.
That's right.
Now, when we get beyond Revelation 10:7, we go into a different thing, see. There's a book that's come down. It's open, and there's a commandment for the church to eat it, which means there has to be a living gospel for a living people. Right. And it's going to be geographically fit and the dispensational fit, and it'll work for us anywhere in the world. There's a living God for a living people that's living now. That fits this dispensation, and He's real. He's a healer. He raises the dead. He heals the sick. And He does what the Word says He will do. Hallelujah. He's a great God, too. He's one that's really, really lovely. Mm-hmm. So, in that first time the lay God has come, He sent, first of all, Jesus Christ came as Son of Man. And He said, the Son of Man is not going to be here long. You're going to look for one of these days of the Son of Man, you're not going to see it. Okay, here comes the Son of Man. Then He died and went and came back as the Son of God on the day of Pentecost in the form of the Holy Ghost. And here the gospel went to Israel. Then He came, moved right on over into the Gentile realm. That's the first leg of His coming. And we've enjoyed it. We've enjoyed the fruit of it. Well, it went dispensational around the world for 2,000 years. They said right then, time, He's going to let those seven thunders utter and open the seals up, and He'll be here 1 foot on land, 1 on sea. The fullness of Christ at the earth again.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. His fullness is here, and we don't want to settle for anything less.
Amen.
And the very fullness of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's not just dispensation. That's John Wesley. He had a dispensational gospel, and God bless him. I believe he rode so many thousands of miles on a horse preaching the gospel. Get up every morning at 5 o'clock in the Haymarket there. And England, I believe, what? And he would be preaching the gospel. And they threw him out of the Church of England. So his father was buried there, so he just went out and got on his father's tombstone and started preaching. Big long haired John Wesley. Saying that you don't need to just be saved, you need to be sanctified too. Amen. God blessed him, and that's where, of course, the Methodist Church sprung off from.
That's right.
Amen. But it was dispensational, and that was what God was doing. So I'm here to tell you, this is what God's doing.
Yeah, come on.
Hallelujah. Amen. We're not just going that bad. It's not so much dispensational. It's come to the fullness. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us very explicitly that in the last days, when He sets His fivefold ministry in its proper order, He said it would bring the church to the fullness of Christ.
Amen.
That means all right.
Amen.
How many know?
Amen.
That means every bit of it. Glory to God. We don't have to wait for another dispensation. It's not so much dispensation as it is Christ, the living word, back in the church again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And he's here tonight. Amen. On here today, he can do anything.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. He can raise the dead. He can heal the sick.
Come on.
Amen. He can make water run uphill backwards. Amen. Praise God. How many know this room? Praise God. Amen. Amen. As we travel over the world, we can see the different customs. And you can put your Bible with you like for the time being, because we'll continue probably tomorrow evening and not get too long on this, because I want to cover a few of these things here. Amen. But we want to look at some of the things just by memory without reading. Now, Paul lived in a dispensational age, and in the geographic area he lived in, it was thought that it was better not to get married. You know, and it was thought that if a woman remained a virgin, she'd be a little holier if she didn't get married, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was thought that a man would be better off if he stayed like Paul. He said, I would that all men was like I am. He said, nevertheless, if you get married, you haven't sinned. He said, but you're going to have trouble in the flesh. But I said, let me tell you something. If you'll stay like I am, stay a virgin, that a single woman, the woman that's unattached, to do, they get closer to God. So some of those things Paul said, he did it, then he went ahead and said, now some of these things I'm saying, says, I suppose it's good for the present distress. But see, we couldn't change dispensation. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Amen. There's a certain portion of the Word of God laying there for us. The second, we'll have the first and second leg that is coming. Now, Christ isn't standing up here tonight on, let's see if I'm still can balance myself on one leg. Well, maybe too old for that. Let me embrace myself. Amen. Christ ain't standing up here with one leg. See, the whole thing is here. One foot on land. One, the first foot on the sea. See, Middle East, multitude of people there. Well, here come Paul. He went forth. He blazing a trail. Hallelujah. But he went right to the Jews and picked up their customs. In the 21st chapter of the book of Acts, he went back up to see James. You might want to read this one. It's Acts 21. He went up to see James, and that was the Jewish element. And he told them there, says, James said, come here, Paul, let me tell you something. Said, look around you. There's many thousands of Jews that believe. And said, they're very zealous of the law. Acts 21. Said, come on, Paul, I'll tell you how to do this thing. Says, you shave your head first. You know, and then you you go through the steps of purification, which took about 7 days. And said, at the end of that 7 days, get an offering off for you. Said, show them that you're still like old Moses. That you're following Moses. Well, okay, being a good apostle like Paul was, and wanted to accommodate them as much as he could. He went into the temple. First, he got his head shaved. Went to the temple to please old James and them there.
Yeah.
Amen. Because they were Jews, and it was totally common and it wasn't something that was unheard of for them to have certain sacrifices and so on like that, because they were born since a little child up doing these things. And when they got converted to Christ, they didn't forsake them all. And neither did Paul, see. Mm-hmm. Amen. And Paul spoke things dispensational that was to serve his generation well. And as the church fell away and went to church age, we brought it all with us, see. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We brought it all with different parts of the world, different places. Amen. And here we are. Amen. God got ready in this last day to send the final leg of the coming Lord. First place, he sent a man to reveal the Son of Man. not the Son of Man, but to reveal himself. Amen. Luke, I believe it is, Luke 17:30, said, thus it will be in the day that when the Son of Man is revealed. There's a tape, I got it over there, Brother Bill, isn't it? It's a tape that called Perseverance, preached by Reverend William Brown. And on there, one young man come up. He said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And he said, some of you may ask me, how did I do that? How did I know? He said, the same God that tells me you're healed tells me your sins forgiven. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Revealing once again the Son of Man here in the earth.
Amen.
And then here it followed through as you've got the messages on ministries of similarities. Here come Brother Jack. He revealed to us where Brother Brown's message and his message in the image of Brother Brown. They brought it on a step further, but it showed us all of how Israel fit. There's two people in the Word of God that that's here in the last days. It's the bride and the brethren. And of course, in between there's your foolish virgins and all. But we're not dealing, but the category of the bride and the brethren. The Jews are the brethren. Amen. That's what the fifth seal revealed, that the Jews was the brethren. Amen. Now, we're brothers and sisters among each other. But when God looked down in heaven, here's the bride of Christ and here's the brethren. Say, just like Joseph and the brethren. Amen. There's a bride and you're it. The bride is a Gentile bride. And Brother Branham brought a message and Brother Jackson's message come. It's the image of it. See, Brother Jackson had a dream. And in the dream, the image of Brother Branham came up and was telling certain things and had certain dreams. Then Brother Allen said the other night, says that Brother Branham's image came up, and God speaking through Brother Branham's image, said, what would hinder God from speaking through the image of Brother Jackson? Said Brother Branham and Brother Jackson's message, big image. Well, honey, let me tell you something, it's here.
Amen.
Amen. There's a message reflecting Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. Glory to God, it's this message here as we take it on to the next realm, say. Hallelujah. Amen. It's this message that's going forth. It's the image of what Brother Brown says, what Brother Jackson says. Amen. And here it is. Glory to God, it don't trample over what Carl said. It don't trample over what Brother Brown said. It don't trample over what Brother Jackson said. Amen. But it takes it on, put it in perspective. Amen. We're in a new dispensation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And when I say a new dispensation, I mean we're not in the church age.
Amen.
How many see? We're not in the church age.
Amen.
When that seventh seal was opened and the thunder sounded forth, amen, and the angel came with a little book, said to John, remember the voice spoke again. Amen. That's what's taking place. Amen. We preached that message right here at the pulpit. And we brought the message, and it was titled, The Voice of Authorization. I mean, I believe that's the last time we were in, maybe. We were up here at church too, brother. That two services and one service here. Amen. When I was praying, it's in the book written down. I said, Lord, let the people know that something has happened. Amen. We've crossed over a barrier to a time when it absolutely cuts us loose from the church age.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. It puts us out here in a time where we know all things are possible in that belief.
Amen.
Amen. Paul said, now concerning the things which you drove me. They drove Paul, asked him, because they're thinking we're like ours. We think according to what we've been taught. We think according to 2005. If you write me a letter, you're going to write me something that would relate to something that we deal with, or something at least that would relate to us. So they wrote Paul a letter about marriage and so on like that. First he said, I would that everybody would be like I am. Shame on you, Paul. Amen. You want the world to come to an end because of lack of population? Come on. I wish everybody like them. It's better to stay a virgin. Better for the young women, not the man. It's better to... Well, see, that's what they were writing, because that's what the society is thinking. So Paul, he went along with what was going on in that time. And there, part of the Word of God Paul wrote is natural man's use as a tree of knowledge to bring him through. And that's why he got organization. But there's some of it that's absolutely spoken by the Spirit of God, and God knowing it would be in the Word all the way through, it was today.
Amen.
Amen. You take a scripture there in Colossians 1:13, and we're translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Amen. You come into a translation, but you can't tell you come out of church age.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God, and you're translated so much, and your spiritual translation takes place, and it pulls you into a place where the natural translation is the natural thing that follows. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Change in
thank
a moment,
Lord.
And in a twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
To be called up to meet the Lord in the air.
Thank you, Jesus.
Woo, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So, Paul's message were not only geographical, much of it, but it was dispensational. And he brought in there the Jews always had their elders. You go back even Pharaoh had them. Way back there. So when Paul started his churches and all, when people get saved or something, one of the first things he would do is say elders up. He knows. Amen. So Paul did exactly like the Jews did. He put elders and bishops and so on like that and all the way through there. Amen. They were living in the days that were plague, and it was so prevalent that if a man was of any financial substance, one of the signs of his financial substance was how many wives he had. See? And that's still today. Over there in Saudi Arabia and different places. I had a print in the Bible, look for it, and the lady there lost it. Where the slutshaw before they got the one they got now had 53 wives. You know, and, you know. So that's something that's just, in that geographical area, it was that way, and Paul really didn't come out to condemn it so much, because he just made it work his way out. But he said, now, if you're going to be a minister, have one wife. So just have one. Don't have five or six wives, because we want to bring this thing out over time as it goes in other parts of the world. And then that way it would be more fitting like it was in Eden there. See? So minister can't have, it don't say, let the minister be the husband and wife. It don't say, let the minister, having only been married once, but be the husband and one wife. And that was in the surroundings over there of the polygamy and so on like that. Oh, and they wrote Paul letters. So Paul, should anybody even get married? He says, better if you don't. Well, should, and said, the young women, it's better if they stay virgin. He said, because if they don't get married, they think more of the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. And said, the man, if he says, because she won't please her husband, and she should do that. But he said, now how about the man? Well, he said, well, a man is better for him, because he'll try to please his wife. Well, he should. If he's any man about him, he'll try to please her. Amen? Some of you sisters say amen now. You can do better than that. Don't leave me out here in the cold. But the point is, all of those things wouldn't fit the plan of God in Genesis only. But it was a geographical time period, or geographical area, and a dispensation where that was prevalent. And the advice he gave, he himself, 6 years later. You go down in the book of Timothy, he said, I would that the younger women marry and be kept at home, the winter man. So he saw that his advice weren't quite what it needed to be. Amen? But we got a living Jesus among us with a living Word. Praise God. Now he says a woman that's not married will be more dedicated and give the care to the things of the Lord more. Well, now, don't come in 19. Notice, yeah, this ain't 19. It's 2006. Paul won't come here in 2006 and preach that, because we know better. Amen. All you got to do is take a walk down the streets in Atlanta. Amen. I tell you what, but when they get married to a good Christian fella, amen, settle down, she thinks more. I believe she's become a better servant of God. And I believe that young man that's out here running all over creation trying to find one. Amen. I believe when he finds that one that they locked together, thank you. Thank you for the hit. Nodding. Amen. I think that man will be closer to God. Amen. And our dear, precious man, Brother William Sowers, he served along about the time, same time Brother Ryan did. He died a little before. Amen. And he didn't want the people to, wanted them to live a life of celibacy, following Paul's advice that was dispensational for a certain time. Amen. And the first leg of his coming, but now we got both legs of his coming. Hallelujah. Amen. So they say the preacher's better. Again, it's better if they don't sleep with their wives. Well, that's nonsense. How many knows that?
Amen.
Amen. And they said, Paul, should we get married? He said, well, if you can't contain yourself, it's better to marry than to burn. You know? And he said, to avoid fornication, get married. Let every man have his own wife and every woman. Well, if that's the only reason you get married, to avoid fornication, you got trouble all day.
Right.
Amen. Is that right? You love that woman. Amen. That woman loves you. Amen. And we don't get married just to avoid fornication. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. That was dispensation in that area, the way it was. Paul wrote these things. Now, Paul gave, the Word of God says, some things are instructional. Now, let me see. Where's that thing? In the Timothy? 2 Timothy? Yes, I believe it's in the 3rd chapter. 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter. Let's read that. What the Word of God's given for. And instructions change as conditions change. Always. You don't give one set of instructions today and it'll be forever. Amen. Unless it's a doctrine. When you get to the doctrine, it is. Doctrine don't change. And there's where we, as we grow up in the Lord, we learn instruction, we learn doctrine. That's 2 Timothy 3, maybe 3:16. I'm having a time here finding it. Yeah, I think about it. Amen. Now, I want you to know there's some instruction. Now, Brother Francis could have a condition in his church that exists that he needs to give some instruction. Amen. And be godly instruction. But those instructions may not be of any value 3 months from now.
Amen.
When the condition has changed and when things are different. Like Brother Brown, one time he gave instruction on who could talk in tongues and who could, and where they could talk in tongues. He said, you can't talk in tongues out here no more. He said, you've got the gift of tongues. And says, the church said, you come at least 30 minutes early and get back in the room and pray. And if you get a message, said write it down and bring lay it on the pulpit. And when the preacher comes, he will pick it up and read. That's in the church hall. Well, let me tell you something. If you go by that, if you ain't dead, you'll die real quick. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I'm telling the truth there. Amen. Well, but his church, the reason he had about 400 people. And he taught that they would begin to jump up, speak in tongues and prophesying. Most of it wasn't coming to pass. And he got so, every time he started preaching, he would do somebody jump up and rattle him off in tongues. Well, maybe I shouldn't use rattle off because I believe in talking in tongues. Amen. But it got such a mess, he couldn't deliver a sermon. So he said, we'll stop the tongue talking out here in the congregation. So I believe that's the way they did in Bible day, which it weren't. because they want to serve in the midst and stuff. So he said, come 30 minutes early and get in the room. If you're going to talk in tongues, do it back there. Dead heads. Amen. If you talk in tongues, you do it where you're at. Because I want to hear it. I might get the interpretation to it. Amen. But he gave some instruction that was totally detrimental to the movement as far as in spirituality is concerned. Well, he was on his way back home to change church order. Check it out. Well, he had an accident before he got home, got back to Jeffersonville, and God took him home, and they took that church order and went all over the world, and they killed every church before they put it in. It's dead because they were going on instruction instead of the Word.
Amen.
The Word of God teaches, amen, that for us to speak in tongues. Paul said, thank God I talk in tongues more than you all. Is that right? Praise God. So if you've got a gift of tongues, amen, use it where you're at. But God's not the author of confusion. Usually if I'm in the middle of a sermon going wide open, you might not, if you feel it, you might hold it back, cut the body and hold it back till you get a little break in there and bring it in. Say, amen. But there are some things for instruction. And instruction is not doctrine. How many knows? Let me read that to you. Because I got business. See, I don't know what time y'all used to hold it. Amen. Praise God. You make me feel so good that I get carried away and get feeling at home. And just, you know. But let me read this anyway. It's 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. Watch now. What's it for now? And is profitable for doctrine. Now, water baptism ain't going to never change. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How many know that? Amen. It's not going to change. Glory to God, it's a doctrine of the Bible. One God's not going to change.
That's right.
But some instruction can. I don't follow Paul's instruction. And on certain things. And you better not. You young girls that ever want to have a nice husband, if you follow his instruction, you'll grow up to be an old maid as grouchy as can be. I'm sorry, maybe old maids here. Amen. Amen. But God put man and wife together. That's why the Bible teaches us that woman made for man. And we were made for each other, see? And we're part of each other. And when God unites us together, we're one in God, see? How many knows it?
Amen.
Praise God. So these things, and again, Paul says, yeah, now, I know you wrote me about this. Let me answer your question. Yes, it's all right to get married if you can't contain yourself. It's better to marry than to burn. But if you can contain, you better than not to. Lord, have mercy. I hate to think there's any people in the world that's that hard up, we would say. Amen. How about a few days fasting, a few weeks fasting? Amen. If you can't contain yourself, fast about 30 days. Yeah, I'll tell you what. But see, the thing is, it's contrary to the doctrine from Genesis on through, its instruction. For that time here, amen. And so here's what it says. All scripts given inspiration of God and profit for doctrine, for reproof. Now reproof, there are certain reproofs has to be done. In other words, it's more or less a correction, you know. See, and you got word, you do it. But you don't correct, you don't continue to correct every day. When that condition is corrected, you may never ever have to go that same route again, say. Amen. And then it says here, for reproof, for correction. And it says, for instruction in righteousness. There are some of us just instruction. And righteousness is geographical and dispensational. Yeah, how many came up in the old holiness groups? Oh, you did? Yeah, I tell you what. Well, I think I told you this before, and I don't want to go grinding things. But they had me where I wouldn't eat pickles because they said to give Jesus, try to give Jesus finger on the cross, and that's so vinegar it got to be bad for you. It's a sin somewhere or another, and Jesus was drunk. So don't eat pickles. And I didn't get ice cream growing up much, and I loved that stuff. I could eat a gallon, and still do. But the preacher came and said, how many want to get closer to God? Of course, my hands was the first one up. Brother, I did. He said, whatever you like best, give it up for God. Said, maybe something you like to eat. Maybe cake, or maybe something else. Said, just give it up and make that sacrifice. Let's do a sacrifice unto the Lord. I said, well, I hate to do this, because I love ice cream so good. But I want to get close to God, so I'll give him ice cream. God bless you, brother. Come here, let me lay hands on you. You know? Well, I didn't eat ice cream, so I was in my teens, low teens, and I got up and started dating a girl. And so she said, let's stop at Tasty Freeze and get ice cream. I said, well, I lied. See, it caused me to lie. Because I said, I done promised I wouldn't eat ice cream. I said, well, let me stop and get you one. I don't think I can handle one right now. So she got one and said, you can have a lick of mine. Taste this. It's good. I want something so bad, I couldn't taste it. But I done give it up for the Lord, you know. Don't drink coffee. So I do drink coffee. Don't drink Coca-Cola. And to be sure, don't take medicine and believe God for healing. So I wouldn't take aspirin for $100 bill. Bad as I need money. Amen. But see, those things were just to say the instruction that man looked at something and he thought that you could give up certain things, but it all proved to be total futile. Instead of getting closer to God, we were going backwards all the time, didn't know it. Amen. But now he calls us back to the Word. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So some things Paul wrote was instruction. But he did very well in the realm that he was doing. See, part of Paul's Word becomes a tree of knowledge. But there are some goodies in Paul's message just as good as anything we preach today. The fivefold ministry just as real. And it'll come to pass, it's that leg. See, he don't cut that leg off. He just put another leg to it. You see what I mean? We got two legs of us coming. But we didn't cut this leg off. We just looked at it and saw the things that was instruction, saw the things that was dispensational, and saw the things that was geographical. And then when we saw all those things, then we are able to bring it out, and see where we're at today. Here we are, folks. Jesus Christ is in our midst. How many believe that?
Amen.
How many believe there's a living Christ for our living people?
Amen.
Now, we just preached the Christ of Paul's day. Amen. That dispensation is come and gone. If we preach the Christ of Brother Brian's day, that day is come and gone. Amen. See, there are some people, if you try to take it another step, well, brother, I'm not going to make any bones about it. I'm here to take it another step. I'm here to take it beyond what Brother Jackson got. Brother Jackson, great man of God, but he's done gone home. Amen. God called him to his place, and when I get there, I hope he don't rebuke me for it, but I'm going to come bow down before him. Amen. That's the way they do over in Africa, and I'm going to take on some of the African way. I go over there, they'll come back in. And so most every service when I preach, before I preach to any congregation in Africa, I come and I bow in. Because that's their custom, and I respect them. I love them. I tell you, they're in my heart to live and die. It's hard over there, but when they come back, I say, I don't know if I'll go back again, because that's such. But I'm ready to go back again. Hallelujah. Sister Margaret still said, Ben, you can't do it. I said, yeah, heart attack and all. I said, Sister Margaret, let me tell you something. My heart's going to last as long as I do. And I said, as long as it lasts, I'm going to praise God and enjoy the things of God. And I'm going to go 16 hours a day, 18 hours a day praising God, because It's too late in the day, and we got a job to do. This is the final push.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The final push. Glory to God. One leg on, one foot on land, one on sea. Amen. We didn't take and jerk Paul plagues out on him. No, we take and we see his dispensational and geographical time he lived in. And some of the things he said to fit that, but don't try to bring it out that age over here. If you do, you will get there. But the doctrine, fivefold ministry, build up in the fullness of stature of Christ. Amen. That's for us today. That goes along with this other leg.
Right. See?
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let's have one mind. One accord. Amen. Now let's let Christ shine so bright among us that all nations will see us. Them people got something from God. Them people's got something. I got a letter from Brother over in Ruth and Terry something.
Ruth and Jerry.
Ruth and Jerry. That's a wee off in near the Congo. Brother says, Brother Ben, I can't hardly listen to you preach without me crying. He said, there's something about it. It's just something. There's a spirit of God in it. It's a reaching out. It's something saying, don't give up. Let's go on.
Amen.
All the world. There's awakening beginning to take place. Let's take this next step. Let's go on. Let's don't stop. Amen. Brother Mike's mother, he had some tapes I preached in the 60s there. And some of us, she's 83, she's very ill now. She's been here. She'd always come to meet me, even if she is doing bad. But you go back and get one of them, it's the same thing, isn't it, Brother Mike? Same thing. Sister Sturgis, it sound like you preached it for tomorrow. That was preached in the 60s. It's been the corn crib, men being filled up. And now the corn crib's open. Amen. There's workers taking the corn out. Amen. People wanting the corn from the corn crib. There's a message, man. There's a apostolic message come to sound a trumpet in this last day.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So let's stand on both legs of Christ. Here you stand, powerful. We're not cutting one leg off. Amen. But we recognize the dispensations. The Matthew chapter 20, I've got to close on this statement. Forgive me if I'm a little long. I don't know if I am or not. I just get in another world, another realm. But it tells how the church age parables. The first one went forth and labored. He agreed with them to give a penny. Well, in another hour he went out and he found some more out there. Idle workers. He said, why are you idle out there? They said, no man tired. He said, go to work in my vineyard and I'll give you that which was right. And on them, building up. But when payday came, he called them all together and gave them all a penny. Hallelujah. So you get what that early church got. You get what you weren't in the dark age, but you're part of it. I'm part of that dark age. I'm part of Luther down in prison for 2 years there. Amen. John Huss burned that stake. Those mighty men of God, the brother that wrote the book on Pilgrim Progress, stayed there in prison 10 years. They dropped some food down, raisin with worms in it, and so on. He's kept praising God. Amen. I'm part of that. I wasn't there, but I get to see it was the building up to where we're at now. But that last thing is that bride. As he clothed her with his very own righteousness, and this is the only way he's getting that full righteousness. He said, let us be glad and rejoice. That's why I'm happy. That's why I'm rejoicing. That's why I'm being glad for them. See, Paul got him engaged, but engagement doesn't matter. Engagement can be broken and so on and so forth like that. And so on, you can take it a long ways there. But a marriage is a coming together.
Amen.
Spirit of spirits, they. Amen. And we're married to Him. He's gave us His mind. He's gave us His potential. Through all we made to build up, each one got a penny. And this last time, you're going to get your penny just the same as them did in the dark ages. Amen. How many knows? Glory to God. Do your heaven with all your heart.
Amen.
Are you ready to kind of make a new commitment to it? Say, this is my day. This is my time. This is my hour. We're too late in the day. Glory to God. So we're here tonight, and there's a job before us. Amen. There's a word. There's a Christ to honor with our life. There's a Christ to honor with our spirit and our soul. Praise God. Let's let the world know we love Him. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank You, God, for Your goodness and mercy. Your blessings, God. Lord, as we have spoke this congregation tonight, may each one know these words were sincere and we believe, Lord, inspired of Thee. God, I just pray now that as we spoke, the words won't fall on deaf ears, which I know they didn't, Lord. But I know Your word says the enemy sometime will come and call, steal them away, and they won't be affected. We forget so quick with the pressures of the day. God, I pray maybe this will take roots in us. Lord, and maybe we'll just break up the fallow ground of our heart. Oh God, that this seed word for this time period, this hour, this dispensation, will grow and produce that end time bride that stands as one in unison. With one mind, one accord, all speaking the same thing. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Too many miles behind me. Many trials are through. Too many tears help me to remember there's too much to gain. Lie behind the mountain. Too many rivers my feet have walked through. Too many treasures awaiting over yonder. There's too much to gain. Across the hot burning desert, struggling the right roads to choose. Somewhere up ahead, there's cool water and defeat. It is one word I don't use. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountains. Too many rivers my feet have walked through. Too treasures awaiting over yonder, and there's too much to gain to lose. Yes, there's too much to gain.